Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 37. This Biz Dev comes in XX.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are really, really excited to introduce a new guest to you today. We are here with Debbie Drake, who probably a lot of you know because Debbie's done so many things in our community, worn so many hats over the years.
Yes, lived here a long time.
Yeah.
You just get to do lots of things, huh?
Lots of cool things yeah. And meet lots of cool people. Uh-huh. Why we have Debbie on today is she has a new hat, a new job. She is the director of the Women's Business Center of Utah. And, you know, I think I didn't know a lot about the Women's Business Center of Utah until I kind of started to get involved in it. So we're really excited to have you on and just kind of explain to the community, what is the Women's Business Center? What do you do? Who do you serve? What kinds of opportunities are you able to help people with? So let's start What is the Women's Business Center?
What is the Women's Business Center? Women's Business Center is a nationwide organization. I just got back from Washington, D.C., where there was like 120 different women business centers across the nation. In Salt Lake, we have had a Women's Business Center of Utah for 21 years.
Wow, okay.
Most people didn't really know about it, but it's because it served Salt Lake. Yeah. It was just in a downtown location, and that's just probably as far as they could handle. They've had lots of clients in and out of there, so it's hard for them to get out and do more.
Right.
This last year, we got a grant from the SBA to open a second office. So we're part of the Salt Lake team, but we're down here, and we serve 15 counties. So I travel a lot, rural women business owners are different than the ones downtown Salt Lake.
Yes.
So I'm having to kind of figure this out as we go, what works best for people. And we try what they've been doing or try something new. And if it doesn't work out the best, we keep trying to figure out what works the best.
That's great.
Yeah.
I do want to make the distinction because there's a sort of a women's group in the Chamber of Commerce.
Correct.
And I've heard people kind of get you confused with that. This is not that.
No,
completely separate thing.
Totally separate.
So this is sort of its own entity, the Women's Business Center of Utah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worthy to note that there's only two in the state.
Right.
And Cedar City's got the second one.
Right.
That's pretty cool. And I didn't realize that you serve 15 counties.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Hope you have a good rewards card for all those guests.
Yes, right. Yes. Well, from Nephi, if you draw a line from Nephi across to Price, and everything south of there is my territory.
Okay.
So I've been as far on the east, southeast to Monument Valley. I've been up to Price, Moab, Blanding. That's what I've kind of, this year, that's as far as I've reached out. I still need to get to the Delta area this next year. That's kind of my goal. And
you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about as, you know, as we've sort of been involved in getting this thing up and going is, and the thing that I find so remarkable is what a huge need there seems to have been in some of these rural areas.
Right.
And you're right, it is so vastly different from the Wasatch Front. I can only imagine that a lot of these places feel so validated and grateful for the help that you bring.
Grateful, very much so, because they feel like they're isolated out there and have no services available to them. And we've been able to come in person, do some training in person, but part of my background is using the internet. I'm an instructional designer by trade, and so I'm really working on utilizing the internet to reach these people. In fact, just today, I had a Zoom conference with somebody, and then next Monday, I've got another one scheduled. So I'm starting to do one-on-one conferencing with them.
I think that's so, so important. And in several of the podcasts that we've done, you know, just in the last couple of months, a big theme that we're starting to see evolve is that kind of remote instruction, remote working, you know, taking advantage of these technologies that we have available now that really can sort of bring these services to these rural areas. So that's fantastic. That is really great.
In fact, the training that we do here in Cedar City, so the local training, we've actually started to do Zoom recordings with that so that people can not only join us remotely at those recordings, but at those, they're not a recording until afterwards, but they can join us via internet and then see the recordings afterwards if they can't join us live.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the training and some of the classes that you've had just in the past year, because I've been blown away by the quality and the caliber of people you've been able to attract.
We have four areas that we focus on. And you can see when I tell you what they are, how broad they are, that we can get just about anything into there. But so business management, how to manage your business, and that one encompasses everything. Finances, so that's another really big part. Marketing is a really big part. And business planning. A lot of people know they need to have a business plan, but very few people have actually gotten through the task of making one. And it's so important to think through things beforehand instead of trying to put out fires when you get there. You know, if you can be proactive, you're better off.
Yeah, I can see you being very instrumental in your organization being very instrumental in sort of taking someone who has a really good idea or maybe a hobby or, you know, something that they are passionate about and they're really good at that thing.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily translate into running a successful business unless you sort of got the infrastructure in place to do that, because you do have to have the marketing and the financing and, you know, the long-term planning. So that's great.
I can't remember who said it, but they said, everybody has ideas. My dog has ideas. I imagine the business plans are something critical for a lot of these people who want to run a business to actually attract the capital too.
Oh, exactly. That's a need. They're going to want to be able to see that you know what you're doing so that you can pay back the loan that they are going to give you to work on. So that's an absolute. But that's not really what a business plan is, number one reason. And that's what everybody thinks of one is for to get financing. It's really for you to map out what you want to do and where you want to go. And it keeps you from chasing squirrels that are not in your focus, you know. When an opportunity comes your way, you have a business plan that you can weigh this. I want to take this on, or am I
sort of outside of my wheelhouse? And maybe it's like you just said, maybe it's a squirrel that's going to take me off track and make me lose focus. That's a big deal.
It is.
You know, I mean, when you get into business, you're just bombarded, you know, with phone calls and you know, do this marketing thing and go down this road. So that's huge.
Right.
And what do you charge for all of this?
Nothing. It is free.
That
is a very competitive price, yes. Because we are funded by the SBA and then some other generous grant people that have done this, we can offer our services for free.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That is so impressive. Yes. So talk to us a little bit about, so we talked about, you know, business planning and the marketing and that kind of stuff. Who do you serve? Like, if who out there in the world can walk into Debbie's office and say, can you help me, please?
Well, we market to women, but we will serve anybody that comes through the door. Like I was saying earlier, we have 10% of our clients are men. So in that aspect, we will work with anybody. Mm-hmm. But the majority, I'm not going to even say the majority, half of our people are idea people that have an idea. They want to see if it will work. What steps do I take? I don't even know where to get started. Is this dream viable? Is it something that will really work? So I really enjoy working with those kind of people because I tend to be a dreamer too, and I get all excited about what they're doing and what I can do to help. But half of our clients are already in business that have gotten to a certain point and want to figure out how to get it to the next level, how to grow. You've been in business long enough, you know that growth spurt is not always easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes to take that next step, you have to scramble a lot. And that's almost as hard as starting a business sometimes.
It can be. It can be a really, it can be kind of a risky time.
Risky.
You know, and it can be sort of an emotionally taxing time. And it can be sort of a, I mean, it can be a point in time where it really makes you hesitate. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of comfortable here.
Right, right, right. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. You know, how much is it going to cost me to go here? Mm-hmm. What's the plan to get there? Do I need to hire more employees to get there? Mm-hmm. Those are all things that can be sort of overwhelming if you don't have anybody to mm-hmm. you know, consult with, to ask. And employees is a big thing. I think that's mm-hmm. something that is really scary for a lot of people. Like, you're now responsible for another human being's welfare.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
And you're committing to paying them a certain amount at every certain period of time. That's a big deal, going from just being like a sole proprietor, kind of, I have a dream and I'm doing right. this cool right. thing, to it's kind of the real deal now, and I got people here.
Right. They're showing up for work every day. Yeah.
Talk about needing a business plan. But,
and
you know,
that's exactly where a business plan comes into play, is because you need to know that this is viable. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go out there and get 10 employees and figure you're going to do this, this, and this, and not have it work.
Yeah.
Then you're hurting other people too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you need to make sure that it's viable. You need to make sure that the market's going to support it.
Exactly.
Wherever you're at, if you're going to stay local or if you're going to grow and expand, mm-hmm. you need to make sure that it's needed.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, that's so huge. That's so huge. So before we started recording, you were talking about some of the things that you plan on maybe focusing on in the next year coming mm-hmm. up. And I just think it's so exciting what you've kind of developed as far as a plan for what's coming up. So talk to us a little bit about all your cool ideas for next year.
Well, we've started reaching out to the rural areas and realizing that we need to get more information out to them. How are we going to get that? And one of them is we're going to start doing podcasts mm-hmm. like this. I'm the good practice for me to do this. But people, especially in those areas, they travel a lot mm-hmm. and they maybe have time that they just like to listen and can see what other people are doing, what resources are out there for them. And mm-hmm. so we're going to start doing podcasts after the first of the year.
That's going to be great. What are some? Have you thought about some of the topics? Like, what are you going to be doing on them?
About half and half. I want to focus on women that have been successful. I want to tell stories because I think people need to know what it's done, what challenges they've had, what they've overcome. Mm-hmm. I think that's will be half of our time. Mm-hmm. The other half of our time is they need to know what resources are out there. Mm-hmm. They need to know information like on the new W-2 things that's coming out. How do they find this out? So we'll get some guest speakers on that can bring some information to them and resources so they know what's available to them.
That's good. I'm going to look forward to that. Yeah. That is really cool.
So
those will be really, really fun. That's great. And then you were talking about some other things. You just got a mentorship sort of a focus. Maybe?
Yes. One of the things that I've noticed working with women, they like to work together. Mm-hmm. They really enjoy that support, and they seem to thrive when they've got that support. So what I want to do is start cohorts. So groups of women that maybe we're going to try locally. We're going to do two of them locally. One group that has not started a business yet, that's still in the dream phase. How do I get it out there? Mm-hmm. And then another group that has been in business for a year or two and needs to step it up to the mm-hmm. next level. So that it'll be in 6-week training cohorts.
Okay.
So I want to get information to them condensed and fast, just what they need without having to spend a lot of time mm-hmm. in the learning stage. But I want them to do it together uh-huh. as a group. So when they get out, they now have 9 other people or 5 other people that are right where they're at, and they can call, they can go to lunch, they can run ideas off of each other and just feel like they're not alone. When you start a business by yourself, you really feel isolated. Even when you're in a town, sometimes you feel isolated. So this is a way to get them out and in other groups.
No, I think that's great. And I think that kind of sort of a brainstorming effect and that masterminding is really helpful, especially because I think from what we were talking about earlier, it's not necessarily going to be the people who are in the same industry.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. going to be people from around mm-hmm. the area, or, you know, maybe remotely and right. participating right. electronically or, you know, through some kind of technology, that we're in different industries, but we're all sort of at the same place
right.
in our business.
Right.
So you have a group of people who is the great idea people.
Right.
And they're just maybe starting on their business plan, mm-hmm. you know, and then you've got, and I'm not going to name them off here because, but the people that you were talking about that are in that second group, like they've been in right. business, women who have been right. in business for a year or two and are kind of just at that cusp of, do I take that next step? Yep. How do I take that next step? How do I really go big? Uh-huh. The businesses that you and I talked about, I was just so excited to get that caliber of people together, and I just think it could be explosive as far yeah. as sharing experiences, sharing ideas, mm-hmm. sharing frustrations, mm-hmm. sharing fears,
right, you know? Right, right,
and having input from other people who are maybe seeing it from a different angle, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. looking at it from a different perspective, mm-hmm. I think is really helpful.
It's very helpful. And then I want to take this to as a way to reach out to other areas. Both Moab and Monticello have said that they are interested in doing something like this similarly. So I'll go out there. I said they're going to be in 6-week increments. So I'll go out there, get the group together, mm-hmm. and we'll meet the first time. Then the rest of the time will be like Zoom, over Zoom. Mm-hmm. So they'll be like a blended learning, but they will all be together in that area. So it's not like they're, if you've ever taken an online class where it's just you and the computer,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's really hard to learn sometimes.
Well, and it's hard to keep motivated.
Right, right, right.
But if you've got somebody to hold you accountable,
right.
That's one of the biggest things is, you know, when you're starting a business or even when you're in that first and second year, and even when you've been in it for 20 years, it's that accountability factor.
Right.
If you have to report to somebody,
most definitely, yes.
uh-huh. You know, you're probably going to take that extra step to get your tasks completed rather than, like you said, you know, I'm taking an online class and isn't this great? And there's no real interaction and no accountability.
Right.
So I think that group accountability factor is going to be really helpful
right.
for some of these yeah. people. That's
so that's what I'm, that's the big things I'm looking at next year, taking
that's
off
great.
With those two things.
So exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting. How many people work in your office?
Two of us.
Okay. So you,
there's
just you and a staff
me
person.
And Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa is the coordinator. She's in charge of getting all the training together and events that we do. So like our Women's Business Conference, Lisa did all of that. And
talk to us a little bit about that because that was an amazing event.
It was. And I hope that I can figure out where we came up with that atmosphere and bring it back every year because it was such a great event. It was our first annual, so we're going to do it every year annually. It's called Exploring Possibilities, so we want to focus on something different each time. This last year was on networking and connections. Maybe that was it. That was everybody felt so involved and connected, and it was just an amazing feeling that was there, and everybody came away energized and I don't know how you bottle that up or create it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that again and just growing and getting more women involved yeah. every time. It was.
You had a Google event.
Google, yes.
It was really cool.
It was. And again, that I blame that. I give Sixia all the credit. She was the one who was the instructor for uh-huh. that. And she's personality plus and just did an excellent job, and we're going to try and get her back every year
okay.
too.
That would be so great.
So, yeah, so that great. Was a great event.
And how much do these events cost?
Google came for free.
Okay,
that didn't cost anything. The conference, I think it was $35. We just wanted to make sure that we had our meals covered
sure.
and still keep it affordable for women that so they could come to it.
Sure.
We want everybody to come to it. You know, whether you're in business or not, we want all women to come.
I think yes. it's so helpful, like you said, even if you're not in business, to be around, you know, other people who are sort of energized, like you say, mm-hmm. and sort of in a different group or a different atmosphere than maybe we're used to. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool to get out and just meet other people in the community that are maybe outside of your regular sphere. And the training is like it just blows your mind. It's the quality of the training that you have been able to offer this past year has been just absolutely top notch. So great. So impressive. Yeah,
had a lot of community involvement mm-hmm. with that, and that means we've got a lot of great resources in our community.
Yeah,
you know,
no, certainly.
So,
What else do you want people to know about the Women's Business Center?
We're not scary. I think a lot of people get scared. I've had people call and go, oh, well, maybe I won't. We're not scary at all. We're real people.
Right, right.
And
that's interesting.
Yeah. That we really want to help. I think women a lot of times just need to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. They need to be supported to know that they can do it. They can go after their dream.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us have a dream inside of us and we're scared to let it out. Mm-hmm. And we're a safe place for women to do that. And I'm just here to support and help them be the best they can be and be successful in their business endeavors. And yeah.
I think something that sort of blocks people sometimes is they don't know what resources are out there. And it's like, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
So if you have at all thought about turning a hobby into a business, you got an idea, you got a dream, you got a passion about something, have that conversation mm-hmm. with Debbie, because my guess is that just people out there in the community don't even know what kind of resources that they can tap as far as training and financing and mentoring mm-hmm. and planning. I mean, it's just some pretty incredible access.
Right.
That if you don't know, you don't know what's out
right.
there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And so that's our focus too, is just to try and get those resources pooled together so people can come in and I can point them in a direction. Or I like to have group meetings and have people come together and meet each other and see what's available. So
such a powerful thing.
If someone wants to go find out more, where should they go?
Well, we're located in the Southwest Technical Building at 510 West 800 South. They can stop by. Yes, the old building. We're in the front office there. They're welcome to stop by anytime. My phone number, they can call anytime, is 435-586-4234. Or they can email me at Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at WBCUtah.org. So,
There's a website somewhere?
Website, WBCUtah.org.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I got all of this stuff. Just WBCUtah.org, and that can get you everywhere.
Right.
Or just stop in.
Just stop
They're
in.
Really
That's
nice.
Yes.
It's been amazing some of the stories I've seen about how encouraging women entrepreneurs in a lot of third world countries has had such a huge economic ripple effect there mm-hmm. too. That women who can start their own business, that they have this multiplier effect throughout their community.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, I've got all this money coming in, now I can go, you know, I can invest in someone else's business or I
and
can, you know, go spend something at the local store more, and that, you know, it just it spreads so
right.
fast.
It really right. does. And women, I don't know if it's right to say they're the backbone of our community, but sometimes they're that hidden structure. And if they can succeed and be successful, they are going to help other women. It's just natural.
Mm-hmm. And the community at large,
right?
Too.
And the community not at large,
women,
yeah. They're not everybody. Getting the money to go out somewhere else. They're here to help mm-hmm. their families, mm-hmm. their area, mm-hmm. their. Mm-hmm. So it is awesome to see them be successful at that, and to know that they can do it. Just here locally, you know.
Yeah. Really cool stuff. So, really cool stuff.
Well, you figure if someone playing video games on YouTube can make a living, you can too.
That's true. Yes, yes.
How hard can it be?
Good point.
Yeah. Oh, well, Debbie, thank you so much for coming in.
I appreciate it, Jenny.
Talking about your newest adventure at the Women's Business Center of Utah. Again, it's WBCUtah.org. And you can get all of the resources from there. Or just stop in and talk to Debbie. She's like the least scariest person ever. Super awesome. Super awesome.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be able to have you on again and
give
us an update on everything that's happening and talk about all the cool things that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been great.
This has been Color Country Politics. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.